Let's talk about death. Nothing's stopping all the horror and the screams. Let's talk about death. Serial killers and their murders, they will be told now. So I'll tell you some tales, you won't like them at all. At all. Let's talk about death. Yeah. Let's talk about death.
Hey everybody, it's Michelle Lykowski from the Jenny McCarthy Show, you might remember. And today I'm going to do my murder mystery about this motherfucker named Arthur Shawcross. I'm believing that's the right name. Yes, I don't care anymore. Now you've learned his name. I'm fascinated by this guy. He's really a monster. Anyway, so he was born in Maine, and he grew up upstate New York in a town called Waterton, which looks like it's on, like, really close to Canada. Although when I checked the weather there today, it is warmer there than it is here, which, what? And Arthur, well, from the get-go, he had all the earmarks of a serial killer. He was a bedwetter. He was a bully. He was someone who killed animals, although he claimed he killed a chicken by fucking it, which I really don't understand that at all, but I digress. He also hit his head hard enough for it to be noted at least three times. One time it was a discus that hit his head, so I guess he was also in track and field. I mean, unless he was just walking by, which is an interesting, I wish I could have seen that happen, because that's funny. That's comedy right there, someone getting hit in the head, unless they become a serial killer. So when he was growing up, kids called him Audie instead of Artie, so you can get a sense of what kind of a kid he was. He was really bullied. He also claims that his aunt sexually abused him, that he had sex with his sister, and that his dad beat him. I also watched, I've said also 12 times, a bit of a documentary on the YouTubes, and he said in his own words that his mother performed oral sex on him. So there's a lot of things he said about his family that could or could not be true, because his story changed so many times. But the thing with his dad hitting him, it may be true, because the school he went to did show that he was occasionally bruised enough to merit some attention. Also, he ran away from home a lot growing up, so there was probably some bad shit going on there. He didn't have a very good high IQ, which everybody thinks serial killers are smart. They're not necessarily. He failed both fourth and eighth grade and dropped out of high school by his sophomore year. So he never finished. He married his first wife at 19 and they had a kid, but she divorced him for being a jerk and also for not being able to keep his dick up. Also, I think he was starting to get into robbing shit, and I think he got caught, and she was like, dude, I'm out. Then he was drafted to the Army and sent to Vietnam, which is just bad news for people with high IQs and aren't already a bit deranged. So you can imagine that with a low IQ and a bit of crazy, I mean, if you're fucking a chicken, you're not all there, that it's not going to be good for you. Right before he went over, he married some chick because they both thought he was going to die anyway. Surprise! He didn't die. He said that when he was in Vietnam, he murdered 39 people and even ate a couple. But obviously, the Army doesn't have a record of it. And while I can't imagine them being all, oh yes, he sure did murder these people and eat some of them, he did change his stories quite a few times, and that's usually a giveaway. Again, like, there's probably some truth in there. He might have snuck out. But from what all accounts, he was like not Klinger, but the radar. No, he was a supply captain. I don't know. He wasn't a captain. He was a private. Anyway, he got out of Vietnam, honorably discharged, and him and his second wife moved home somewhere in New York, upstate, I think probably by Waterton. And he, you know, couldn't satisfy her, and so he started beating her. And then she was like, oh, fuck this shit. And she got out. But around that time, he also just started burning shit down, like the paper mill where he got a job right out of being in Vietnam, then a cheese factory and some other shit in this town. He was just like, I'm going to just burn shit now, which, you know, if you follow serial killers like I do, is kind of a thing that says, oh, that guy's going to probably eventually murder people. He got caught and he went to jail for 2 years of a 5-year sentence. And he got out early because he was in an Albany prison during a prison riot, and he saved a guard from dying. So they were like, you know what? It's okay that he burned that shit down. He saved this dude. Let's let him out. And the psychiatrists in the jail were like, you know, he is really fucking crazy and he will probably break his parole, but you do you, guys. And they did them, and that motherfucker was on the streets. So, but during that time, he said that he was in another jail before he was transferred to Albany, and that there he was raped by these three dudes, and that later he got his revenge on each of them by raping them and murdering them. Nobody has any account of that actually happening. So that's my story on that one. But he went back to home to Waterton, and he got another girlfriend. What the fuck is wrong with these women? And he got another job. He was really into fishing, and he would talk to... The job was not fishing. This is a side thing. So he'd do his job, then he'd go fishing, and he was into it, and he would talk to these kids that were around the lake. And this one mother was really smart, really savvy, and she saw that freak, and she was like, dudes, stay away from Audie. But kids sometimes ignore their mom, and one of those boys was never seen again. And the mom knew right away that it was this fucknut, and the cops questioned him, but there was no evidence to convict him, and he had an alibi, which apparently checked out, and blah, blah, blah. Sad, sad, sad. It's so sad. And then right after that, a little girl went missing. And, oh, wait, before the little girl goes missing, his girlfriend marries him. Because, of course, she did. And then a little girl went missing, and they pretty much knew it was him, and he confessed. But they only got him on the little girl's death. I'm not sure why they didn't get it on the little boy's. But he was sentenced to only 25 years, which is depressing in itself. But then, the worst part, he got out after 15. Well, guess what? His wife divorced him when he was in prison. But when he got out, he was ostracized in the community he chose. So he and his next girlfriend, that's right, I think we're on 5, moved to Rochester, New York. And the cops sealed his record there so he could live in peace, which is a pretty big mistake on their part. And this is the worst mistake. His parole officers also lost sight of him, but his new girlfriend became his fourth wife. You know what they say, fourth time's terrible. Their marriage was apparently lackluster, which if we remember from his first marriage, probably meant that he couldn't get it up. So he went the way of sex workers. And just like another serial killer that I covered a while ago, Gary Ridgway in Seattle, who was around the same time, he started murdering sex workers. And also like Gary, nobody gave a shit because a woman who is a sex worker is apparently not worthy of an investigation. And to push the Gary Ridgway comparison even further, his first victim was found by a river, the Genesee River. And after his fourth victim was found in the same area, he became known as the Genesee River Killer. And now you can really see the comparison because Gary Ridgway was the Green River Killer. But unlike Gary, he didn't do as good a job of covering his tracks, nor did he keep his victims as sex workers. He may have been able to continue his reign of terror longer. Because, like, Ridgway was, I think he went without being caught for 25, 30 years. And it was just because of paint that he eventually was found. Anyway, so if he had kept it to just being a sex worker murderer, he probably, like I said, wouldn't have been caught. But as this next victim was found on Thanksgiving Day and had a family who paid attention and went to the cops, and they found her, and she was gutted like an animal. And his murder style was escalating, as he had started with just strangulation and biting. Ugh. After 11 victims, the local police finally figured out that they had a little problem on their hands, and they got the FBI involved. After finding a pair of jeans with the idea of another missing woman a little further from his usual dumping ground by the river, the FBI did an aerial search of the surrounding area with a helicopter, which I don't think they had drones because this is 1990. I never told you the years, but right now we're in the 90s. He was born in, like, 48. I don't know. Right, 43. Anyway, so he, the FBI were like, hey, pants far from where he usually dumps. Let's do this, get up in the helicopter. And so, like, Les Nessman, they're just, like, throwing turkeys out of the, sorry, bad joke. Anyway, so they looked down, and there they found a new body that was almost sawn in half. Is that the right word? Sawn? Cut? Chop? But, like with a saw in half. But more importantly, not very far from it, they found a man on a bridge either peeing or masturbating next to a van. And that van led them to Audie. He went away with a sentence of 250 years, and then he went to another court because one of his victims was in a different jurisdiction? Whatever. In another county, and they gave him another lifetime. And in 2008, he died in prison. But not a lot of people know about this dude. I didn't, and now I do. And am I better for it? No. And I'm trying to Google because I realize that I never said how many victims he had, and that's important. Oh, 14. They're saying 14. Okay. But, ladies and gentlemen, war is hell on the home front, too. And lock your doors. I keep telling you that. And if you hear of a sex killer, a sex worker getting murdered, please go to the cops and tell them to investigate. I hope you're well. I hope you're wearing your masks. And I miss you very much. Bye. Times are hard.
Jenny close to your heart. Put Stars 109 in your car's preset so that Jenny's always at your fingertips.